Thank you. morning. That was quite awesome. Thank you very much, Michael. Welcome to all of you to St. Luke's this morning. This afternoon, as far as announcements are concerned, there is a farewell picnic for Tom and Roxanne Ostlund. And it's not?
Yeah.
Lois?
It's not farewell.
Well, it's concluding the ministry. Yes. And so at 4 o'clock at the poolside, what is it called? Grill center, whatever. I have yet no idea where it is. Is there anybody here, anybody else here who doesn't know where it is? Everybody else knows that I'm going to get directions later on and we are not going to waste time this morning on this. First of all, I was gone for 2 Sundays. I was for 1 week in Thousand Oaks, California, to do what the Synod has been recommending to pastors in the Synod, namely a class on executive skills. We had about 1,000 pages of reading material, of which I understood about 3. And the class was fascinating, and I understood probably about 15-20% of it. So I will have to keep learning on this, what exactly it is that they have been talking about. I just heard from Sherry that the downstairs is completed. So this is, after worship, the time to go downstairs and take a look at what Sherry and, I'm drawing a blissful name.
Tracy,
of course. Sorry about that. Yes, I knew this once upon a time. And Tracy, what they have accomplished downstairs, it has been, I've seen the stages, it has been nothing short of amazing. Thank you for your work on that, and please, after worship, take a tour downstairs. There was a conversation between Bishop Gonia and the UCC executive this week. It was a teleconference thingy, and Scott was actually on it as well. I believe there are some ways forward after September 1 of where this congregation is going, probably together with the UCC. I think further things are being developed, but the bishop is not going to let you hang there, is all I'm trying to say at this moment. I will be gone. I am already late by a couple of months for where I was supposed to be, but I will remember you in my prayers, starting also, especially as the transitions are happening then in September. And last but not least, this is important, Fox News has put out an incredible article, I have only one copy of it because it's 14 pages, on how Lutheran Family Services is currently, of the Southwest, is currently ministering to the people that get dropped off by ICE and Homeland Security at their stations. If you want to have a copy of this, I'm perfectly happy to make you one. I just didn't want to make extra copies that then won't get picked up, given the fact that it's that long. But it's a fascinating article. Every time you hear on the news Lutheran Family Services, remember, that's us. That is this church. That is every ELCA congregation and Missouri Synod churches. It's the last joint ministry we have, and it is quite fascinating. They are currently working, 12, 14-hour days in shifts. It is absolutely amazing. So if you're interested, this is a very secular publication, as you can imagine, but it is fascinating how we are being recognized for the ministry we are doing through Lutheran Family Services. Any other announcements?
Where did you, where do you find that article?
This one?
Mm-hmm.
It was, I get Apple News. There is a little app that's called Apple News. And so I just click on it and then I look. It's on an iPad and an iPhone. I'm not sure how you get it on a regular PC. I then transferred it over to my PC and printed it from there. Any other questions?
I
nonsense. That's got all hearts and all minds to worship God. He's yours. Steadfast love toward us, healing the sick and raising the dead, showering us with every good gift.
Amen.
Thank you for filling in. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Just and gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds. Forgive us our sins. And free us to love for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Apostle Paul assures us when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to the cross. Jesus says to you, your sins are forgiven. Be at peace and tell everyone how much God has done for you.
Amen.
Thank you.
have placed within the hearts of all your children a longing for your word and a hunger for your truth. Grant that we may know your Son to be the true bread of heaven and share this bread with all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Today's first reading comes from the fourth chapter of 2 Kings, beginning with the 42nd verse. A man came from Baal-Shalishah, bringing food from the first fruits to Elijah, the man of God, 20 loaves of barley and fresh ears of grain in his sack. Elijah said, "Give it to the people and let them eat." But his servant said, "How can I set this before 100 people?" So he repeated, "Give it to the people and let them eat. For thus said the Lord, they shall eat and have some left." And he said before them, they ate and had some left, according to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We will now say Psalm 145 responsibly. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your faithful ones shall bless you.
They shall tell the glory of your kingdom and speak of your power.
They shall tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your power. Wait. Yeah. That all people may know your power and the glorious splendor of your kingdom.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all ages. You, Lord, are faithful in all your words and loving in all your works.
The Lord upholds all those who fall and lifts up those who are bowed down.
The eyes of all wait upon you, O Lord, and you give them their food in due season.
You open wide your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing.
You are righteous in all your ways and loving in all your works.
You are near to all who call upon you, to all who call upon you faithfully. Today's second reading comes from the third chapter of Ephesians, beginning with the 14th verse. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, accordingly to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you will have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be fulfilled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
St. John, the sixth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the sign that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages could not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." And Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. All right. I invite the children to come forward. If they want to come forward, you do want to come forward. You are coming forward. All right. Let's see. So, you just did something very, very nice. You did. What was it? You don't know? We had someone else scheduled this morning for acolyting who couldn't make it. And you just very quietly filled in, right? Yeah. Is that one of the gifts you have? Well, I think so. Look at that. All 8 candles are lit. Everything's perfect. What did you do? You had a gift and you put it to use for all of us. Is that awesome or what? Yeah. Did you hear the story? There was a little boy who had brought lunch, and obviously no one of the adults. And he offered what he had, and it fed a great many people. That's what we do with what we have, with what we can do. We just do our part. And sometimes our part is a bit bigger than it is on other days. But what we can do, we do. And you just did that. And I bet you anything, when you are about 3 inches taller, you will do the same. Because right now it's really hard for you to reach any of those candles, but it will get better. It will get better. I know that story. So, together, let's pray, shall we? All right, let's pray. Come on. Dear God, we thank you for the gifts that you give us, and we pray that we will always use them
for the good of all people. Amen. Thank you. And thank you for your service this morning. Pray with me. May God grant that only the truth will be spoken here, and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, seriously, don't you think that someone should have told these people that it was time to go home? Don't you think that someone should have told the crowd that this show was over, that the day had grown late, that their way home was long, and that since they seemingly all came without any provisions, it was time for them to go back to their own homes and whip up supper for the night? That would have been the smart thing to do. It would have been the reasonable and the prudent thing to do. And most certainly it's the thing that I would do if at this afternoon's picnic the entire population of Buffalo and 500 of your closest friends are all showing up and just one boy, or perhaps in this day and age it is a practically minded girl, had brought a couple of fish and a few rolls for the meal. Seriously, what are 5 crummy loaves and 2 puny fish in the face of such hunger? Look at it. There is no chance that it will even put a dent in it. It is not enough. You can't expect it to be enough. Don't even think about it. But now that you all have heard the end of the story, I've got to ask, isn't it too bad that Sunday in, Sunday out, we are talking about following someone who is so hopeful and so optimistic and so trusting that he dares to dispense with all reason, prudence, and calculation? Isn't it too bad that Sunday after Sunday, we look at the bean counters when we think that all and everything has to come from us? That if anything is going to happen, it can only come from us, instead of trusting that in a larger group, more resources and more solutions are on hand than we could ever imagine by ourselves. As far as I'm concerned, there is something very unsettling about such a story. A story of so much trust and of so much vision that the end result is nothing short of a miracle. When you look at the Gospel of John, it's amazing what Jesus can do when he trusts the process, especially since he seemed to have had a real penchant for parties. Remember the wedding that starts off Jesus' miracles in the Gospel of John? There's no more wine, was the agreed upon crisis du jour. We want to party some more, but there's not enough wine to keep us happy. And Mother Mary nudges Jesus and says, do something. And Jesus says, I got this. There's a party here and it shouldn't have to end right now. Look again and see the abundance in this crowd. Sip again and taste the water. It tastes like wine, you say? Well, there you go. Just pay attention. It's all there. Just trust the process. Or do you remember the party at Martha and Mary's house? Martha is going nuts over all the work that is there to be done. All the cutting and all the dicing, all the slicing and all the grilling, not to speak of a 3-mile-long shopping list. And Sister Mary sits at Jesus' feet and listens to his teachings and his stories. Martha goes ballistic and hisses at Jesus, do something! There isn't enough help. And Jesus says, stop worrying. There are people here to help. Trust the process. Judas and Andrew can go to the market. Matthew, John, and Levi wield some mean kitchen knives. And Nathaniel has recently won the Capernaum grilling contest. Look at us. See all the folks here ready to help. It's all there. Just trust the process. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate it when he does that to me. I hate it when he tells me to trust the process. I don't want to trust it. I want to control it. I don't want to invite people over having to worry with every bite they have and every sip they take that I might run out. I don't want to invite people over having to tell them that they have to work for their supper, helping out with all kinds of preparation or cleanup afterwards. I don't want to have a party where the Chinese pot stickers run out after 10 minutes or the wine after an hour. If I throw a party for 20, I have provisions for 30. Come hungry. Anything else would go against my grain. And against the grain of just about everyone else I know. I don't think I'm alone with my control issues. In fact, I think I'm in really good company with them. Have you ever been at a Lutheran potluck where the food ran out? And yet, how often do we all look at what we have brought and measure its inadequate? How often do we all look at who we are and consider it insufficient for the task at hand? How often do we just see what's lacking and what's not there, insisting that what we see right here and right now is all there can and shall ever be? But hold on to your horses when you entrust those gifts to God. Hold on, because chances are, together with other people at hand, it will take you places you never considered or even intended to go. Hold on to your horses, because you are in for the ride of your life. The story of the feeding of the 5,000, which besides Jesus' resurrection is the only miracle story found in all four Gospels, the story of the feeding of the 5,000 is probably my favorite Jesus story because it tells me to focus on what is possible and not just to hold on to what is here. It tells me that the what's there is only the beginning, and what's to come yet is the real story. And when you think about it, people of all walks of life have done amazing things with no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish that they had been given. Not only Tessa this morning, but also a Lillian Carter, the mother of the former president, applied at the age of 72 for 2 years of service with the Peace Corps in Africa. Why? Because, she called it, it seemed to be a good use of her time in retirement. No kidding. Sunday school teachers, vacation Bible school volunteers, in this and in every congregation, give of themselves again and again. And as they give, what they have is multiplied and feeds many. And then there is the story of a man by the name of Dr. John Sundin, a clinical instructor at Yale School of Medicine, who some years ago signed on as a surgeon with the Red Cross in the crisis areas of Africa. When he's over there, he sends out email accounts of his often gruesome experiences to a friend in New Haven, Connecticut. The friend, in turn, has taken the habit to bringing those dispatches to his favorite coffee house, where Regulus now gather each morning for their daily ritual of coffee, croissants, and news from their friend on the front. And what they also do is they simply double their tip, and part of it is going over to Africa to help the Red Cross there. Now, figuratively speaking, this is no more than two little fish and five crummy barley loaves in the sight of the world's problems. Not one of these people had any more than that. And sometimes they might, like Jesus, even had to borrow those. But my goodness, when you trust people, when you trust the process, and when you look for help in all places, not just in your favorite hangouts, miracles do happen. Because you know how it is. What we have is only secondary, but what we do with it is the key. That is something to remember when the crowds look too big, the odds too poor, the work too hard, and the situation too hopeless. Something to remember when our own resources look too meager, our efforts too puny, and our spirits too low. So what can I say? Let's stop staring at the crowd as if they were the enemy. Look at their potential. Stop listening to the voices that tell you that there isn't enough, and then go and look at your loaves. How many do you have? Pretty much any answer will do. Now follow the leader. Take what you have, whatever you've got, take it into your hands and hold it lightly, very lightly. Then bless it, thank God for what you have got, and make it holy by giving it away for love. Then break it. Sorry, you've got to tear it up, to shred it, and to share it. No way to keep it all in one nice little piece. And finally, give it to whoever is standing in front of you, beside you, around you. Spread it around. And never mind that there doesn't seem to be enough for everyone. It is not up to us to feed the whole world, but it is up to us to share what we have, to feed whatever big or little hunger happens to be standing right in front of us. The rest will come. Because God is God, the rest will come. Trust the process. For now, all you need to see is how many loaves you really have. And then go and see what they can do, both for the sake of God and for the sake of the world. Amen.
Thank you.
of the Apostles' Creed, let us confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
God, who abundantly provides the bread of life to all who hunger, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Loving God, we pray for all those who gather to celebrate the holy feast of Christ's body and blood. Strengthen every member of your church in love, faith, and service. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, we praise you for the beauty and abundance of your creation. Send sunshine and rain to nourish crops. Teach us to provide and distribute food with justice and generosity. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Loving God, you know every nation, every culture, and every people. Teach us to work together for peace and to love each other even when we cannot understand our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, you hear the cries of the hungry, the sick, and the downcast. Send food, healing, and comfort to all who are in need, especially those who name before you now. Satisfy the desire of every living thing. Lord, in your mercy. Loving God, we thank and praise you for this congregation. Teach us to be a holy family, Christ's body, to and for one another. Unite us in love and faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, we thank and praise you for the beloved dead who taught and fed us in Christian faith, especially Mary, Martha, and Lazarus of Bethany, and the martyr Olaf, King of Norway. Hasten the feast that will reunite us. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty and loving God, we look to you in hope and trust, knowing that you will do far more than we can ask or imagine, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
In the peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us exchange a sign of God's peace among us.
Peace.
And also with you.
He's with you.
Yes, he is.
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 Yes
Let us pray.
God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
The bread is broken, the wine is poured. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Please be seated. body of Christ, bread for your journey.
The blood of Christ.
Blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Blood of Christ, cup of salvation. Will you please rise? The body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. O God, as a mother comforts her child,
so you comfort your people, carrying us in your arms and satisfying us with this food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Send us now as your disciples, announcing peace and proclaiming that the reign of God has come near. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. Amen.